Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Fabelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like
Voy a mojarme los labios con agua bendita.
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show.
How's it going, Babelito? Babelitex? You know, I've been saying Babelekis, and it's not right. It's
right.
Babelitex.
That sounds like fucking cleaning products.
Babelitex, now at Target.
Yeah. I'm frozen. How are you?
Good. Oh, yeah, you're back in Chicago.
I'm in Chicagastland. I am not enjoying the weather. It's fucking miserable out here. But anyway, después te cuento. ¿Tú qué show? ¿Cómo estás? ¿Ya regresaste a Las Vegas?
Yes, I was in Guatemala, the motherland, for
Damn.
2 weeks, and I just got back.
Girl, I can't wait to hear everything about it and everything you ate over there.
Oh, girl, I took notes. I have a food journal
yeah.
to share today.
Oh, my
God. It is
God.
All here.
That's so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Before you tell me what you ate over there, what do you eat today?
Today, I just had some rice and beans. Mm. And in the morning, I had rice and beans. So living that broke boy life.
I feel it.
That's it.
Wow, qué boring. Didn't Guatemala inspire you to eat all kinds of crazy shit?
What are you saying? You think Guatemalans eat crazy food?
Like in the best possible way, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I ate so much in Guatemala that I don't really...
You're
think
permanently
I
full.
Should eat for the rest of my life, so...
I know how that
I'm okay.
Is.
I'm fine, yeah.
Wow.
It's so good. What did you eat today?
So today I had huevos con tocino, not bologna. And for lunch, I actually made a stew of pork, potatoes, and roasted green chili from New Mexico. Because we actually drove from LA all the way over here. That was 3 days. But we stopped in New Mexico. Shout out to Kirsten. Wake up, Kirsten. And we had to buy chile. We had to buy tortillas de harina. And we also bought dried red chili. So my house smells like La Judy's house. It's fucking fantastic.
Oh, my gosh. I love roasted green chilies. It's so good.
It's so good. Pero, güey, la sufrí
yes.
cuando fui al baño. It's so spicy. It's too much.
Okay, that's enough. You didn't have to give us all those details, bitch. Jesus.
You want to know how I prepared this, too? Because I'm very proud of it.
Sure.
Okay, so corté unos cachitos de pork, and then I seasoned it with salt and pepper, and then I added potatoes, and then I in the blender I put a little bit of water with onion, garlic, and tomatillos, and I blended all together. I added juguito Maggi, pero ¿cómo se llama that? Nor Suiza caldo de pollo.
Cool. MSG.
Amen. And then you add it all together to the pot with the pork and the papas. And then you mm-hmm. just you add las rajas de chile al último and you let it sit there for like 20 minutes. And bitch, it's like, I don't know. It was so good, pero... It was painful to eat it, I'm not going to lie. But that depends on the chiles, you know? Like, there's nothing I can do about it.
Mm, sounds so good. Well, I had rice. And so what you do is you get rice and you put it, you can wash it if you are responsible, or you can just take it right out of the bag. You put it into a pan. If you want to get fancy, you put oil in the pan,
right.
Caramelize some onions in there,
yes.
Take the onions out, and then you do a light fry on the rice. That's how I do it anyway.
Yeah.
And then you put 2 parts water to 1 part rice.
Mm-hmm.
You let it simmer until all the liquid is absorbed. Make sure you season it before it's absorbed, so it absorbs the rice. I mean, the salt or the garlic powder or whatever you want to put in it.
Right.
And then the beans, just, you know, some slow cooked beans. I have a little crock pot. put some black beans in there, some onion, garlic, salt.
See, bitch, you ate more than rice and beans. Like,
that's just standard, girl. That's just standard. You know how we do.
That sounds so good. Okay.
All right.
I wanted you to tell me everything because since I met you, you've been talking about going back to Guatemala.
Listen, bitch. Listen. So,
yes,
you know, on one of the last episodes, I was like, I'm not going to be one of these white women that goes to Guatemala and is like, oh my God, I found myself, right?
Eat, pray, love, or as Kristen says it, eat shit, die.
Oh my gosh. Who is Kristen, by the way?
Kristen, I mean, she's my mentor from the University of New Mexico, but we don't have to get into details. She doesn't like us to talk about her.
But you talk about her every episode without saying
because
who she
she's
is.
Part of my life, so I'm just gonna say Kirsten, so don't ask me details about her. Oh, actually, I'm gonna talk about her with my recommendations today. So
damn. Well, you could just write like you could just say your advisor or like you know my friend.
Okay, so from now on,
so people
Kirsten
know who you're talking about.
Yes. Anyway,
like,
she
Kirsten
says
Dunst?
When I took her race and gender class, she said, if you guys don't behave, I'm going to make you watch Eat, Shit, Die. And I'm like, what is that? And then she said, Eat, Pray, Love. I'm like, oh, okay.
Have you seen that movie?
Bitch,
Eat,
no.
Pray, Love?
Have you?
I can't. No. Oh, my God. Speaking of.
Yes.
I cannot stand it anymore on a plane. Everybody's watching that stupid ass Mamma Mia movie part 2.
I see it
on everybody's screen and it looks so awful and everybody watches it on every flight that I'm on.
Anything either that the Meryl Streep is on, people are like, yeah, no matter if it's fucking horrible.
It is so bad. But okay, back to Guatemala. It was awesome. I hadn't been there since I was like 3 or 4 years old. That's the last time I went. And so, you know, my family, I guess growing up, didn't really have enough money to like fly all of us out to Guatemala because it's expensive, you know, especially to take kids. And so now is the time to do it for me because I have a flexible schedule. I make my own schedule. And I have a little bit of money so that I can take trips. And one of my cousins, mm-hmm. who's also an artist, she's a photographer, shout out to Gabby. She wanted to take this trip also, and her dad happened to be there, and her dad is like really well connected. So it gave us like the confidence to book our own trip because we didn't want to just go and not know anybody because we wanted to be able to find our relatives
right.
and just like get around. And it happened to be that her father's, my tío, his friends are part of this big chauffeuring company. So like, they picked us up from the airport and they took us to all the touristy places. But also, I think the most important thing was just connecting with my family in this town that we're from.
Uh-huh.
So my family is from Zacapa, which is like the district, like the state. And then to be more specific, they're from Gualan, which is like a town in Zacapa.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like right in the middle of Guatemala, in the jungle, basically. And there's all these little aldeas around. That's what they call pueblos there.
Right.
My family is from this aldea called Iguana and one called El Cubilete, which is like off in the dirt. Like you need a four-wheel drive vehicle to get there kind of thing.
Wow.
So the first day, we just literally got into a van and drove straight to Gualan, where my uncle has a house. It was a really interesting experience for me because I didn't expect what happened to happen. You know, I was raised Guatemalan.
Correct.
Because
yeah.
My mom and my dad separated when I was young. So now, you know, I identify more with Mexican culture because I talk to you every week. And like, I'm from the Southwest and most of my friends here are Mexican American. And so I've kind of been, a lot of my artwork is about being Mexican, you know, or like,
but
you know how that happens
in a way,
because
which,
it's like
what you talk about. It sometimes they corner you into identifying as Mexican, and I feel like that happens to a lot of Central Americanos.
Yeah, and especially because I'd never been back to Guatemala.
Right.
Like I know the traditions and I know the culture, but you know I've never seen it in person. So it was amazing to get to the airport, like get off the plane, and to be surrounded by all of these people that look like me.
That's awesome.
And like, that was like, an overwhelming feeling, right? Mm-hmm. And then something that was also really interesting was, you know, you've actually visited me when I was in Mexico,
right?
Like 4 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. And whenever I go to Mexico, when I speak Spanish, like my brain doesn't click over, mm-hmm. like for like 2 weeks
it
or so.
It takes a while, like, yeah.
It, like, you know, se me traban las palabras. I can't really express myself fully in Spanish because I'm thinking in English.
In English.
What I didn't realize is that I was taught Spanish. I was taught Guatemalan Spanish. I was taught a very specific dialect.
So when you went there, everything was so much easier to speak.
Oh my gosh, God, that's beautiful.
It that's
was
beautiful.
Like a Freaky Friday moment. I thought, I was so weirded out. I immediately started speaking Spanish like a Guatemalan. Like without even trying, it came out of my mouth. And I was just like shocked. I was shocked. And it just goes to show that it's like ingrained in me from my childhood. Because that's how my mom's side of the family taught me how to speak Spanish. And that's how we spoke it.
Bitch,
you know?
The unconscious is real. Like, we don't know, like, all the shit that we're storing there. Have you ever wake up in the middle of, like, when you wake up one morning and then you have a song that probably you haven't heard since you were, like, five? Like, the shit that we store in the back of our brain, it's insane.
It is so crazy. So, and I noticed it right away, and I was waiting for somebody to say something.
Right.
Because, like, my speech and the way that I speak or the way that I speak Spanish is always being called out. Like in America, it's like, oh, you're pocho. Like you don't really know what you're saying. In Mexico, it's like you speak Spanish weird because we can tell you're not 100% Mexican. Forget it. When I went to Spain, people were like, what are you fucking saying? You know, like they had no fucking idea. So to be in a place where the way that I spoke and the way that I said certain words was just like how everybody said them. It was, that was pretty amazing. I just love how expressive Guatemalans are in their speech and in the dialect. And I don't know if I'm using the correct words to describe speech there, the language there, you know, but I just love certainly how vulgar it is sometimes, but just how expressive and how, I feel like it's tied to a lot of the indigenous cultures in Guatemala and how, you know, just a sound can mean so much.
Yeah.
And I feel like Guatemalans do a lot of the, you know, like, and saying things like, my favorite thing to do, instead of saying like, see or yes, you know,
yeah,
Guatemalans do this thing where they go, uh-huh, like that. It's so good. It's so good. So I would say that a lot. Uh-huh, that's like that. Funny. It's so great. Anyway.
So when you go back to Mexico, there's always this like double, like the politics of double consciousness, right? That you either Mexicano, Americano, or pocho, like, or in between. Is there such thing like that in Guatemala? Like, is there like similar politics of identity when, especially when they have somebody coming from the States like you, that you are from Guatemala, you know?
I'm sure there is. I just didn't notice them because I was just surrounded by family the whole time.
I see.
And they didn't care. I could tell one of the days my cousin Gabby and I went out and we walked around the streets, and just because of the way that we were dressed, I mean, Gabby and I, we look like we're gothic people, like goths, like we just wear black, you know? And no, I mean, it's like, it's winter, bitch. It's winter there right now. They're like, take jackets. It's going to be cold. It was
beautiful.
It was like 80 degrees.
That's funny.
And humid. Uh-huh. And people were wearing sweaters and shit. I'm like, are you guys kidding me? It was so hot.
That's hilarious.
It was so funny. But I know that it exists. And I did notice it. The thing about the town that I was in, there wasn't a lot of class difference within the town. Mm-hmm. It seemed like everybody was pretty much on the same like socioeconomic level.
Yeah.
But I could tell, like, whenever I went into the poorer villages, like, we definitely stuck out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, there, I remember going to like La Secundaria, junior high. There were people from all different classes, but I always thought it was like a thing from the border, just because the border, it's such a, they're much, younger towns, and there are a lot more younger money. So, like, las clases se mezclan un poquito más. But when it comes to the division of classes in Latin America, bitch, that shit is real. Like, the people with money have money, and the people with no money have nothing. It's so crazy.
Yeah. Some of my family members don't really have a lot, especially when we went to visit El Cubilete, the little village where my family is from, where my mom was born. They literally live in, you know, like what you see in the movies, like in the tin shacks in those houses, you know, and that was eye-opening. But it wasn't I don't know how to say this without sounding bad, but it's like I didn't feel bad for those people. I understood them because that's who we were. Like my mom was one of those people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and there's always this.
Does that make sense?
There's always this tendency, especially in the States, this fucked up tradition to like go to other countries to appreciate what you have, right? But it's like no, like sometimes we grow in those countries and we might not have all this material shit, but like. There's a lot less problems, and I mean, it's just you have to be very careful and contextualized because everybody's different. But yeah, like there's this tradition that you're gonna go to those countries and be like, oh, I'm so thankful for my air conditioning and this and that. When it's like, bitch, when we lived over there, things were completely different, and we didn't miss the things that we have today, you know. So I know what you're saying, that you understand.
Yeah. So I guess I just wanted to be in the moment while I was there. I wanted to meet as many family members as I could. And that was a trip because all these people knew who I was and I had no idea who they were, kind of thing,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I did kind of feel guilty about that. But at the same time, I don't know. I didn't know about them, you know? And I could blame my family, like my parents, like, why didn't you tell me that I had so many aunts and uncles and, you know, secret family members in Guatemala?
Is your Facebook now popping?
My Facebook is lit, como dices tú. Oh my God. But yeah, that was absolutely like my favorite part. And of course, the food was incredible.
Okay, bitch, tell me everything. Yo vi unas tostadas en tu Insta story and I was like, I think Fabi has told me about this before.
Well, girl, I was eating so much and I was eating so much that I could barely breathe every day. and I said, Gabby, I need to my cousin, I'm like, let's start a food journal because I just want to make sure I eat all the food and I don't want to like eat too much of the same thing so that it leaves room for other food. And so I'm just going to give you...
Before you start, I want you to answer this question, then you can tell me all about it. In your experience in restaurants in the States of Guatemalan food, is there anything that... le hace como justicia a lo que, like, of the food that you ate? Like, is there...
None.
Okay. That's
none.
That's what I wanted to hear. Okay, tell me everything.
None, bitch. You know what? You know what I want to do now is I want to go to El Salvador because I go to a lot of Salvadorian restaurants here in Las Vegas, and the food is the bomb. I can't imagine how the food is in El Salvador.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because every Guatemalan restaurant that I've been to in the States, it does not... It does not match.
Right.
It does not.
Okay.
So, okay. Day one, we're in the van.
Okay.
Day one, bitch. We're in the van, and there's a stop. Okay. There's traffic. We're stuck in traffic, like on this carretera for like an hour.
Uh-huh.
But thankfully, there's vendors walking up and down. Right.
Hallelujah.
And so they eat this snack there. They're called mangos tiernos, like green mangoes, like really tiny mangoes that they peel and they put pepita. Do you know what pepita is?
No.
Okay, so pepita is the seed from a squash.
Oh, yes.
Ayote, is that what it's called?
I mean, no, and I think it's pepita also.
Okay, the seed from a squash, and then they take that seed. So just think like of a pumpkin seed, and then they make it into a powder. And then that's how, and it becomes a seasoning.
Bitch, that's gourmet. So
they make a powder. Bitch, that is not gourmet. That's every day, baby.
But see, that's the thing. All you need is like a white fucking chef to take that and put it in a menu, and they will charge you like $10 for it.
Rick Bayless is already doing that. Okay, so mangos tiernos con pepita y chile y limón. Okay, we had that snack in the car.
Okay.
It's amazing. It's like just like savory fruit. It's so good. Okay, then we stopped after we got out of we were hungry after all that waiting in traffic. Mm. So we stopped at this buffet and this buffet. Girl, It was just in this little village. It was in a lady's house, and people, you just walk in, and she's standing there, and she just has, oh my God, you know, like in the in the movies when it's like a cornucopia of food, like coming out. It was just all this food laying in front of this woman, and she just had a plate in her hand, and she's like, "What do you want?" And she would scoop whatever you wanted onto a plate. She would put it in a microwave behind her, heat it up, and then hand it to you. And then you would eat. You would eat, and then you would leave. You like pay the guy, and then you would leave.
Oh wow!
So there, I had a chile relleno, okay? A Guatemalan chile relleno. This shit had like
everything
and the kitchen sink in it, girl. I don't even know what I ate in there. I ate a plátano, like just like a fried plantain, beans, macaroni salad. That's what I had there.
Damn.
So good. We get to Hualan. We get to the town where we're from, and it was so cool because on the same flight, we didn't even know, one of my aunts and uncles was on that flight from Las Vegas too to see their family. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up going over to their side of the family, to their house. And they have this huge family, and they had prepared a caldo de gallina, okay? Mm. Now, when I say caldo de gallina, I'm not saying caldo de pollo on purpose, okay?
Right.
It's caldo de gallina.
Yeah.
Gallina, if you don't know what that is, it's like we are eating the family's pet, okay? Like this was a chicken that was beloved, okay?
Like the,
by the family.
Her pictures are on the walls.
Fed only the finest scraps, okay?
Okay.
this chicken was not eating feed, okay? She basically had a seat at the table, okay? And they took this gallina and they cooked it for us, and it was incredible. It was such a great meal. And usually Guatemalans put rice in the chicken soup, a bunch of different vegetables like carrots and yuca and papa and just all, some vegetables that I didn't even know what they were because I never even
pero
seen
se
them
las
before.
Comió.
Absolutely. Are you kidding me? A huevo, for sure. Okay, then one of our cousins was like, hey, my dad just opened up a restaurant. One of our cousins, his dad opened up a restaurant at the top of this cerro, like at the top of this hill, called El Mirador. And then we went up there, and they had like, this was my only complaint, is like when it's like a fancy-ish kind of restaurant, they always serve like Americanized food.
Right.
I saw that shit in Mexico a lot too,
bitch. Like, chains like TGI Fridays. If you go to Tegucigalpa, that's the poppin' place. Like, that's fucking fancy, con un patio y like fucking trees with lights coming down from it. Like, it's a weird ass class thing.
It is weird. So up there, we had nachos y papas con queso. That's what we had as a snack. Okay. And the beer. The Guatemalan beer is called Gallo.
Uh-huh.
And then they also had this like lighter beer that's called Dorada. And that's the one that I liked. So that's what I was drinking.
I imagine Guatemalan listeners right now crying as they're listening to all of this.
Bitch. Oh my God. I'm not even done. That was just day one. Okay. I'm just going to get through like 2 days because this was so much food.
Okay.
The next day, girl, was epic, okay?
Biblical.
So it was amazing. So my tio William, who was out there, my uncle William, he has some land in the jungle next to a river where he's going to build his house someday. You know how these people think that they're going to come back and build a house and they're never going to do it?
Yeah.
He's going to do it, okay? But anyways, he has he has this beautiful plot of land out in the middle of the jungle, and he wanted to go have like a day where we could all hang out there. And his sister, she had just happened to buy like 10 pounds of jutes. Do you know what jutes are?
No, girl, but I'm all about it already.
Jutes are snails, river snails.
Yes, escargot. Yes, Central America escargot come through.
Okay, so the shells of these animals, they're like cone shaped, like a cone shell. Like imagine like a, you know, like those chips, like bugles.
Uh-huh.
Like, but bigger.
Uh-huh.
What you have to do back in the day, what they did was they would get machetes. They would get the machete and like slice the tip off of it, like the tip of the cone off.
Uh-huh.
So that when you put it in the boiling water, it like boils through the whole slug that's in there, the whole snail that's in there. And then it creates an airway so that you can just like suck it out kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Y aquí te la sirvieron ya sacadas, ¿no?
No, bitch. These things were still alive in the river water in a cooler. Hundreds of them. You know what? It might have been thousands of them.
Wow.
Like pounds, un pinche, dos costales llenos. Like, it was a lot. And so we went there at like 8 in the morning and they're like, y'all want to eat? ¿Quieren comer sopa de jute? And we're like, yes. Caldo de jute. We're like, yes. And they're like, okay, a trabajar. They gave us all like wire cutters and we went and one by one, we cut the ends of the jutes off and then like put them in. And I didn't realize they were still alive when I was cutting them, they were like trying to make their great escape.
Oh my god,
it was so fucked
work
up
for your food. Okay, how it should be.
We prepped it all and we went into the jungle. It took us like 2 hours to get in there, and they cooked it over a fire.
Uh-huh.
And so they threw the snails in, they throw all these spices in, they use this herb called Santa Maria, which are these like giant leaves.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was Santa Maria caldo and the other one was Pepita caldo.
Damn.
So it was like two different flavors. Girl, okay, so just imagine this like little hut in the middle of the jungle next to a river with a fire going underneath it and this grill that this makeshift grill that they have.
Mm-hmm.
And then like at the same time, they have plátanos like grilling right next to it. They have like rice going. They have beans going. They're making handmade tortillas de maíz, okay? And this is something that I need to explain. Guatemalans don't just eat regular corn tortillas that we're used to. Their tortillas are thick. So just imagine like
porque es otro the consistency. Tipo de maíz, ¿no?
No, girl, it's the same shit. But Guatemalans are just extra. Okay, so it's the same maíz, okay?
Uh-huh.
But what they do is they make the tortillas thicker. So think about the thickness. Think about the thickness of a pupusa. I think most of us have had pupusas.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that's a really thick one. Okay, but maybe like half that
it's
thick.
It's still so super.
Between an industrially made tortilla from the States and a pupusa, that's how thick,
God,
like the perfect
damn
Guatemalan tortilla is.
Oof.
Okay? Okay?
I can.
And then, okay, so then that same day, we had this plant called pacaya, mm-hmm, which is like, I don't know, it just like grows naturally in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a pod, and it kind of reminds me of like baby corn, but it's green.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like, it's this pod full of that stuff. We grilled that, we ate that. We had
pero
coffee
¿cómo se lo comieron?
Out there.
O sea, ¿en caldo?
Just like that. You take it off the grill, you peel it, and you eat it.
Oh, fuck. Okay.
We had café, like fresh coffee. They made coffee. And by fresh, I mean Nescafé or Folgers. And then...
Of course.
Because you know Guatemalans are selling their coffee. They're not actually drinking
because
they're trying to make some money. With quesadilla. Do you know what a Guatemalan quesadilla is, bitch?
I can't. Okay, go for it.
A Guatemalan quesadilla is not two tortillas with melted cheese in between. A quesadilla is a baked good. It's cheese bread, a sweet cheese bread that they make. That's perfect with your coffee, okay?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so then plátanos asados. There was a coconut palm trees everywhere. We had fresh coconuts. People were cutting coconuts off of trees, and we were just drinking coconut juice.
Bitch, you were living from coconut that fantasy, that jungle fantasy.
Coconut water. Oh my gosh, it was so good. And then finally, okay, so we went to the river, and then we went home that day, and we had these things called garnachas. After all of that, do you know what garnachas are?
I think I know, but I mean, I'm sure it's different from what garnachas are in Mexico.
Okay, are you sitting down?
Okay, okay.
This is totally up your alley, bitch. This is like border food right here, okay?
Yes.
So imagine the Guatemalan tortilla, okay? Thick, okay? It's a meal in itself, all right? Imagine that deep fried, okay?
I'm getting a heart attack just listening, okay?
Crispy to perfection. They take it out of the oil. They take all the excess oil off. They put it on the table. You get mayonnaise. You put mayonnaise right on top of that garnacha, right on top of that tortilla. Uh-huh. And then you sprinkle ground beef on top of that.
Okay. Of course you do.
Then you sprinkle powdered cheese on top of that.
Damn.
And then you perfectly put three slices of tomato on top of that and a little salsa and you eat it. That's a garnacha right there.
Wow. That sounds amazing. That does sound like right up my alley.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, I have lists and lists of food. I just want to stress that Guatemalans, mostly what they eat is corn tortillas, black beans in many different forms, like in soup, in a soupy form, in a paste like form, in a liquefied form, in just like a chili kind of form. And they eat plantains. So we eat plantains every day. And then usually some sort of like powdery cheese or like sour cream with that.
Wow.
It's so good. So most Guatemalan diets are actually vegetarian, which is pretty incredible.
That's amazing.
And yeah, in the morning people will have eggs with that.
And but, you know, they've been eating that shit for thousands of years. Like,
this is what I wanted to talk to you about, girl, because you know that I was afraid. I was like, I've been traveling a lot. Every time I get on a plane, I start to get sick. I don't know. I hope everything's going to be okay when I'm in Guatemala.
Dude, that's on your DNA. Like, that's part of you.
Girl, as soon as I got there, I was at 100%, girl. My skin was glowing. I was just breathing. I felt like I could breathe. I was like, this is it. This is where I'm supposed to be, girl, for real.
That's amazing.
I'm like, if I learned anything from this trip is that I need to go and get a humidifier for my house.
Oh, no.
For real. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, that happens to me when I go to Juarez. Like, even though it's just like an industrialized city, like, just my stomach is like, oh, okay, I remember this. Like, this is exactly how you're supposed to eat. It's so different. It's so different.
Let me just look through my list and make sure. Okay, empanadas de frijol. All right. Yeah. So this is another traditional food, and it's actually like pupusas, but we call them empanadas in Guatemala. The tostada that you're talking about, that you saw on my Instagram, that was an enchilada. Remember when I was telling you about Guatemalan enchiladas?
That's what it was. Yes.
That is a Guatemalan enchilada. Those are art. Those are a thing of beauty. Those are sculpture. That is centuries of
in the making.
Oppression, colonialism. that is something that survived and fought back. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Enchilada is a tostada, basically. Mm-hmm. And then they put like a red sauce on it, some sort of ground meat. They put cabbage, beets, a hard-boiled egg sliced, cheese sprinkled on top of it. Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
What about chocolate? Because chocolate is like a Mayan thing. Like, is there, or that's another product that they always...
Don't you mean chocolatl?
Chocolatl.
That's right. My people did that too. You're welcome. You're welcome, world.
That's true.
Yeah, I ate chocolate there and it was so fucking bomb.
I bet.
It was great.
I bet. Oh, you know, when you talk about the coconut and the jungle, it's so interesting because in, like... We did our honeymoon in Hawaii, and we drove around the whole entire island in Oahu, and we kept seeing this stands of like fresh coconut water. It's like they're selling this like exotic dream, right, to the tourists. And then we got really interested on the geological formations of the volcanoes and how everything comes together, and we started watching all these documentaries. Like, the fucking coconut is not even from Hawaii. Like, it comes from other places. Like, the seed got there for some reasons. And another product that everybody thinks about when they go to Hawaii is like the pineapple, right? But the pineapple is also from Latin America. And it became a symbol of status in the colonial period. And it's just like there's this whole entire colonial narrative surrounding foods that we grow up with. So when we think about pineapples, we think about Hawaii. But the reality is that it was part of the U.S. big companies. They brought that product over there because it was the good. It was good soil for that to grow there. But so when you tell me like, oh, I didn't want to do my eat, pray, love thing. Like, I don't think you did. I think you just went and had an experience like what you're used to, you know, as opposed to like other tourists that are looking for that, are looking for whatever they are familiar with. When they go to Central America, they think of the Banana Republic. They think of all these fucked up colonial legacies that we are fed here in the States, but the realities are so fucking different, you know?
Yeah, and I just made sure to do that. I know a lot of listeners were commenting on my Instagram because I was posting at the end of the night, I would post pictures from the whole day. Yeah. And I just wanted to make sure that I wasn't exoticizing Guatemala or exploiting people, especially the native people, the indigenous people of Guatemala. You know, it kind of was a bummer because the first week that we were there, we pretty much stayed in the town that we're from, you know? Mm-hmm. And then the last week we decided to like go around and see ruins and go see Antigua and El Lago de Atitlán, Lake Atitlán, which is like surrounded by volcanoes.
Oh, Antigua's supposed to be gorgeous.
It was the worst part for me of the trip.
Of course. Because that's where all the tourists are.
Girl, again, if you are a white person listening to this show, and you have a friend that has dreads, that is white, please tell them to end their life. No, don't do that. Please tell them to reconsider their life choices. Tell them that they are wrong. Tell them that they are ignorant. And that they're racist, okay? Please, if you are a white person with dreads that listens to the show, I don't care how many shaman you've talked to. I don't care how many times you've gone to South America and done ayahuasca. I don't care. I don't care if you're Bob Marley's cousin's uncle's best friend. You cannot wear dreads in public and think that that's okay.
Oh my God.
Please don't, especially in Guatemala. We don't want you there, okay?
A la chingada.
And you know what? I did notice a distinction between white people that are being respectful of the culture and white people that were living their eat, pray, shit, fantasy in Guatemala. And whenever I saw those people, I would get so angry and I would just yell at them, go home.
Oh my God.
And they didn't like that very much.
That's also part of the problems of the governments. Like local governments sell that fucking dream. Everybody knows about Antigua Guatemala. So those are where all the hostels are. When like people that are fucking doing the Che Guevara fucking road trip from Cuba to South America or whatever. I mean, not road trip, but you know, they have to stop over there, you know, like things like that, that is just so annoying. But at the same time, he makes money. So the national governments, those are the parts that they promote. In Puebla, like that. You don't see a lot of those in Puebla, but you go to Cholula and because, you know, the fucking volcano and the church on top of the pyramid, it is like this magnet for these fucking hippies, the dread, you know, the dreads, the white dreads that are always attracted to all those places. It's fucking insane. So I can totally see your worst experience being there.
Yeah, and it was just a tourist town. And so for all those people, especially all these white people that after they saw my trip asking me if it's safe to go to Guatemala, yes, it's safe because there was white women just walking around at night like it was... Like it was their Sex in the City fantasy in Guatemala. And I was like, okay, girl.
White linen.
Oh my God. It was fascinating to see. And I will say, I did eat at the fanciest Taco Bell I have ever went to in my entire life in Antigua. It looked like from the outside, like an abandoned building kind of. And then they restored the inside. So it was like you were eating in this like restored ruin.
Colonial.
It was so amazing.
You took pictures.
I was one of the problematic people in Guatemala. I took pictures. I took video documentation.
Is the Taco Bell there the same as here?
No, girl, it's better. It's better. It was, the tortilla is like harder, crunchier, and like actually tastes like maíz.
That's so crazy.
It's so, it tasted the same, but just like a notch crunchier, a notch saltier. You know Guatemalans love salt, so there was hella salt and everything. Uh-huh. It was good. Oh, and they give you french fries with everything.
Of course.
It's great.
It's part of the fast food American dream. That's so funny.
But I will say, I will say that I did love going to Tikal. And Tikal is this like city with a bunch of temples that they uncovered.
It's Mayan.
I mean,
yeah,
just a few years ago, really, if you think about it. And that was incredible to see. This is when everything started clicking for me, and I realized how much colonization and the remnants of that still pulse through the culture,
right?
And that the Guatemalan people, specifically my family, don't realize that they're still agents of the colonizers, that they're still doing the work that they started. Because when I went to Tikal, it's in a national forest. It's protected jungle.
Right.
My uncle thought it would be a good idea. We were not liking this idea at the beginning, but he's like, let's get up at 3 a.m, head to Tikal to get there so that we can be at the ruins by sunrise. And we're like, what kind of fucking romantic like bullshit are you trying to sell us? And we fucking did it, dude. We were walking through the jungle at night, I'm pretty sure there was a jaguar following us the whole time. It was so terrifying. You could hear rustling. And like when the light started to come up, it was like the fucking Jungle Book, bitch. There was parrots. There was monkey. I don't even know the name. You know those giant rodent things that look like pigs? Like we saw those scurrying around. There was those capuchin monkeys in the trees. It was insane. Anyway.
Damn.
Ooh.
And I bet they sell there. Those tours. They're like, see Tikal, it's sunrise.
They do, but we didn't do it. So here's a hot tip for people that don't want to get screwed over.
Yeah.
Okay, if you go to any banks, we went to, it's called Ban Rural, like Banco Rural, like rural bank. Mm-hmm. You go to any official bank in Guatemala and you can buy a ticket to the entrance of Tikal at the bank. So you know it's legit.
Oh,
so,
shit.
And if you have a Guatemalan ID, if you have a Guatemalan passport, they only charge you 25 quetzales to get into Tikal.
Which is
like $3.
Damn.
If you are not a Guatemalan, they charge you 150 quetzales to get into.
I mean, but sure, they should pay, like tourists should pay. Yeah,
but that's like $30. That's for what I saw, that's worth it, right?
Right.
So anyway, it was beautiful. And just seeing the jungle like untouched, or not untouched, but you know, protected so that these plants are just growing naturally. Made me realize that the culture of like raising cattle, which I didn't realize that most of my family in Guatemala are cattle farmers, that they like wiped most of the forest away, most of the jungle away. So that they can have their ganado, you know, that's even the word for it. Their winnings, you know? So
their
cattle. Uh-huh. I know. So, so it was just an eye opener because right after Tikal, we went to my uncle's cow farm in Petén, which is the same state that Tikal is in. Mm-hmm. And his farm, his finca, goes right up against the jungle. Mm-hmm. And they chopped down all the jungle so that the cows could graze. And he only has like 100 cows. It wasn't like a giant farm, you
and
know?
That's just minimal colonial damage. Like the fucking capitalist damage goes way beyond that. So it's incredible.
Something that did kind of give me a little glimmer of hope. Well, a couple things. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my uncle really wanted us to have an authentic time, okay? So he's like, we're going to camp at my farm. And we thought there was going to be a farmhouse, girl. No, we were in a hamaca, like outside in a cow stable, like sleeping with cows. Okay.
Romanticos.
No, girl, it was not. But the best part was that in the middle of the night, we started to hear this like, sound.
Nope. No.
And I was like, what the fuck? It sounded like somebody was howling like right next to us in the fucking barn, or it wasn't a barn, it was a stable. It was like an outdoor patio that somebody left behind. That's kind of what we were staying in.
I would have been like, take your authenticity back, give me a fucking hotel room.
Girl, it was a pack of howler monkeys.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Howler monkeys. And they were not happy that we were there. I was like, nope. This is it. They're like, don't worry. They don't come close. I'm like, y'all need to give this land back. That sounded, that as if anybody's heard howler monkeys before, that was one of the most terrifying sounds I have ever heard. It must have been like 20 of them.
A call for action for the whole jungle.
Yelling. I'm going to put the sound effect in right here, just so you guys can hear how fucking terrifying that was. It was great, but on the flip side of that, my uncle William that I talked about at the beginning, yeah, we had a lot of conversations because he's like really proud of being from Guatemala, and he actually realizes the effect of deforestation,
yeah,
and how that's like ruining the country, and how like, you know, it doesn't rain as much in that town anymore, or in that part of Guatemala, because there's no more trees left.
We're all
going
to fucking die, yeah.
And the town, one of the little towns that were from the villages is called Iguana. And one of the reasons it was called Iguana is because there were so many iguanas there back in the day, mm-hmm, that they were just like walking around, right?
Yeah.
The iguana is pretty much extinct from that state in Guatemala.
Because they domesticated
No. Because Guatemalans have eaten them all, okay? We don't fuck around, okay? Bitch, we eating snail caldo. They were eating iguana caldo too, okay?
Damn.
I guess the delicacy or like something, they eat the eggs of an iguana. Wow. You just grill them and then they're like supposed to be really good.
Wow.
I don't know. I wanted to try them, but guess what, Mimi? They're not around anymore.
Is national pride rooted in the glorious Mayan past? Like in Mexico's the Aztec past?
Yeah, totally.
So they sell little knickknacks of like the Mayan shit everywhere, no?
Yeah, I mean, mostly it's like, oh my God, mostly they just sell like the tapestries, like they're really famous there in Guatemala, like all of that. Mm-hmm. So like manteles and like napkins and bags and this and this and that, that's most of it. The Mayan thing, and the quetzal is the bird, this beautiful bird that's on all the money and like on everything. You see them selling that kind of stuff a lot.
Those feathers were sacred for indigenous people, man.
Yeah. My uncle is going to build this house, but not Tyranny of the Jungle down. And I suggested, I'm like, you know, we should try to bring the iguana back. And he was like, yes. So I think starting next year, we're going to build an iguana like sanctuary in the middle of the jungle.
Oh, that's fucking beautiful.
And try to bring them back. But my uncle said the people out there, I mean, it's just the culture. Like there back in the day, there used to be deer, there used to be iguana, there used to be this animal, that, you know, wild turkeys everywhere. But they see an animal and everybody just hunts it down to eat it. You know what I mean?
And I bet there's organizations that are trying to do their part, but like you have to do your research and stuff.
They're trying, and I saw that in the we visited a couple elementary schools, and that's the messaging that they're giving the kids nowadays. Like people are realizing it, people are actually recognizing global warming there. Like it's way ahead.
Them, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually ahead of here in the United States.
We're benefiting from all of that, unless it's fucking hurricane season, you know, or like this fucking snowstorm that is happening here.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
It was a really great trip, it was a great trip, and I was glad that I went. And
Are you going to go back more often now?
Yeah, I'll probably go every year.
That's awesome.
Just to visit my aunts and my uncles that are over there. They're fucking cool.
That's a beautiful thing. So should we take a break and read a listener letter? Do we have time?
Yeah, I think we have time for a quick one. So go for it. Oh my God, Babalito.
Yes, Mimi. Tell me.
You're so stupid. I am so hungry. You know what I want to do? I want to eat some Mexican food after all that Guatemalan food that I talked about. I need a break.
She needs a break. Okay, let's do the original, the only, the amazing Lindo Michoacán on Desert Inn.
That's right. The original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn in Las Vegas is a partner with Latinos Who Lunch. If you go to Lindo Michoacán, they will give you a 25% discount.
¿Qué? ¿Cuánto?
25% if you say that you are a Latinos Who Lunch listener. So go there. Get your menudo if you're there on the weekend. Get your nachos if you're into that kind of
get
stuff.
Get your carnitas. Get con Coca-Cola, tus tortugas,
oh,
si te quieres
God.
Llenar, sopa de fideo. Oh, fuck, everything.
Caldo de siete mares.
Ay, ¿cuántos mares?
I think there's siete.
That's awesome.
I think
That's
so.
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. It is the bomb. I love the chips and salsa there. If you're a chips and salsa kind of girl, that is your spot. The original Lindo Michoacán on East Desert Inn in beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada. Lindo Michoacán.
Save water. Drink margaritas.
All right. So we have time for one quick listener.
Bitch, I just
letter.
Had a realization before we start.
Okay. Okay.
It's
okay.
Sopa de caracol. The same thing that you were describing, or that's something completely different?
Yes and no. So after I released that episode with Radio Menea, mm-hmm. a lot of people sent me messages saying that sopa de caracol is actually referencing the shell noodle.
Ah, you know? Okay.
So
okay.
It's actually referencing like sopa de... My family just calls it sopa de sopa, like with noodle in it.
Yeah.
But yes... We did eat sopa de caracol. We kept saying, because it's called jute, mm-hmm. like Guatemalans say jute. Mm-hmm. So we kept saying sopa de caracol. Hey, jute, jute. They didn't think it was funny, but we did. Me and my cousin did.
Okay, go for it.
Our letter comes from our dear listener, Marlena. Hola, hola. New listener here. I'm not sure if you have discussed this before. You have so many episodes, but I'm wondering if you have any thoughts / advice on speaking to your abuelequis about their experiences. I am a writer at heart, a classically trained journalist, a history geek, and lately have been very interested in digging into my own family history as means to preserve the memories of the mujeronas who raised me. Estoy tan agradecida for what I've already learned from Babalito about the history of Spanish colonialism in Mexico and the Southwest. But I feel like there's so much about my own history that I don't know. And I think the best way to learn is to speak to my grandmas. I have the idea to sit down with each of my grandmas and record conversations about their parents, their abuelas, their childhoods, and their experiences in the U.S. over their lives. My fear is that asking them questions will resurface the traumas they've had and that they will be unwilling to share with me. They were both born in the mid-1940s and have gone through some shit. My mom's mom migrated from the U.S. to the L.A. area from rural Durango in the late 19... Girl, that's my cousin! Shout out to you! Okay, from the late 1960s and lived through decades of domestic violence and abuse. That's for sure my cousin. Okay, my dad's mom grew up mostly in the RGV, that's the Rio Grande Valley, for all you that don't know, as a second-generation Mexican-American and the... I just said Rio Grande like a cowboy. The Rio Grande Valley. The Rio Grande Valley. Okay, sorry. Okay, Mexican-American and the daughter of migrant farm workers. I can only imagine the kind of racism, sexism, misogyny, violence, etc. they've experienced. Should I be hesitant to ask them to relive these memories? Muchísimas gracias to the both of you for what you are providing for our community. I have been a fan of podcasts for years, but have not sought much beyond the NPR sphere until recently. It has been so refreshing and fun and energizing and eye-opening to listen to your conversations, and I look forward to digging through your archive. XOXO, Marlena.
Marlena.
Okay.
This touches home because you have no idea how much, cuánto me arrepiento de no haber platicado con mis abuelas. I remember mi abuela era bien socarrona. Like, she was just, like, hard-headed, and she wouldn't want to talk about it. So when that happens, if they don't want to relieve a trauma, don't push it, of course. And I remember my grandma from my dad's side, the only thing I remember talking to her about is how her great-great parents were German. How do they get to Chihuahua? Who do they mix with? Mm-hmm. I don't know anything. I don't know if they were Jewish. I have like a feeling, not a feeling, but like because of the way of the patterns of migration in northern Mexico, like I wouldn't be surprised if we're half Jewish, you know? But, or at least, you know, like some percent. And I never did. And I don't have my grandparents. And you have no idea how much I will give to have a conversation with them. Don't be afraid of relieving the trauma. It's your family. They won't tell you why they won't tell you. You shouldn't push. But you know how we always talk about take control over your voice and our voices this? This is where it starts, girl. If we don't have control over our own histories, somebody else will. And sometimes those histories are painful, but they at least they can stay within your family. It's not about going to your grandma so she can relieve her trauma and then you're going to put it all over you too for, you know, for you to become famous. It's about your identity. It's about your history. It's about your kid's history and your kid's history. And that shit is important. So if there is one time to relieve trauma is to pass it along to your family so we can all learn a lesson. So I say no, don't be afraid. But yes, be very respectful.
Amen to that. I you know what? This letter came in perfect timing because last night, so the one thing my Guatemalan grandma asked to bring back, she's around 85 years old, and she's like, mijo, si vas a Gualán, vas a la farmacia, me recoges unas vitaminas. I'm like, okay, grandma. My grandma is like a vitamina fiend. She loves vitamins. Yeah. And she's like, se llaman cardio vital. Son para el corazón, mijo.
I'm like, okay. TV. That's so sweet.
I know. It's so funny. So I bought her like 4 bottles of it. I'm like, I'm going to hook my grandma up, okay? And I took it to her house, and she's like, mijo, esto es mucho. Yeah, it's never good enough, right?
Always.
But I sat there, and I showed her all the pictures, or like half of them before she got bored. But she's a shady. I love her so much. This is not the one that Babelito disrespected.
No, será mexicana.
You know what? Babelito, my Guatemalan grandma wouldn't even let you get that close to her kitchen. She would have chopped your head off, bitch. She don't fuck around. You think my Mexican grandma's mean. Okay, no. But listen, the reason why my grandma, the reason she's like that is because she's been through it.
She's gone
and
through
I know
shit,
that
I'm
my
sure.
grandma, I know that my grandma has suffered through a lot of trauma, but last night at her house was so special because I sat there with her and we talked for like 3 hours.
Beautiful.
And I just had questions. I said, you know, I met a lot of family members and I said, well, what about this person and what about that person? And, you know, sometimes she would say, you know, that person is not that great. And I'd be like, well, why? And she would say, ay, mijo, es que no te quiero explicar porque, you know, she didn't want to tell the family secrets, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Bitch. wait. I cannot wait till we're off the air, girl. I understand why my mom didn't want me to go to Guatemala. There is so many family secrets that I learned, like, just from not even people telling me directly, but just from listening to people have conversations. Girl, this shit, I was talking to Maite about it from Cabronas y Chingonas, and she was like, I'm going to pitch a TV show based on your family story. This shit is juicy.
Y se va a llamar like, El Secreto de Amor. Out!
It's going to be called, uh-huh. So...
Oh my God.
Let me call. A la grande habla mucha. So, listen. So, Maite was like, I'm going to write a telenovela about your life, about your grandma's life. Anyway, okay. Yeah. So, I lost track of what I was saying because I'm thinking of all the family drama in my head right now. I'll tell you this one, girl. I'll tell this one over the air because everybody knows about it in the village we're from. I got to El Cubilete and I have a 14 year old aunt that I didn't know about. My grandpa is knocking on 90 years old, okay? And he has a 14-year-old daughter, okay? completamente chuketh, bitch. And nobody talks about it. It's wild. Okay.
That happened in our family in my grandfather's funeral. I was like, who is this kid? And they're like, oh, he's your uncle. I'm like, what?
What?
What? Oh, my God. I feel like every Latino of you might have seen a fucking story like that, man.
Some of you might have seen pictures of my beautiful sister on Instagram.
Jeez.
Yep, I have a Guatemalan sister. Yep, that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, my God.
Okay, listen. So I was at my grandma's house yesterday, and this is what I did. I just say, well, I say, abuelita, if you don't want to tell me, you don't have to tell me. That's fine. I literally told her that. Like, I respect you. And we would sit there, and we would talk about something else, and then she would bring it up again, and she would tell me a story about it, you know, like on her own terms. I don't think that sometimes grandparents don't actually think that we're interested in their lives. They don't think that their lives matter. And also they've been kind of trained to keep everything a secret. So I think if you're just expressing interest, I think your grandparents, your grandmas will tell you a lot. And please do it in a non-threatening,
right,
non-colonizer way. Like, don't go with a microphone and a recorder and a notepad ready.
Video, like, fucking recorder and shit.
No, girl, be respectful. Just sit there and listen.
I feel like there's ways. Like, one way to do it, and I mean, in every family is different, but like a lot of Latinx families are like this, is through food. I remember my grandma would be like, oh, así, she used to make tortillas de harina y les ponía requesón. And al requesón le ponía miel o azúcar. And I remember asking, like, what is this? Why do you put cheese and sugar? And she's like, oh, así no lo comíamos en el rancho. Like, that could have been an opportunity to be like, el rancho, like, what rancho? And that could start a conversation without having to be threatening or, yeah.
That's it. That's what helped me. So because I went to Guatemala, I actually got familiar with the geography of where we're from. So I knew where everything was now when I had no idea. The thing that sparked a lot of conversation was me saying, like, oh, so this place is here, Iguana's here and Cubileta's here, my grandpa's from here, you're from here. I never thought to ask, how did my grandparents meet? You just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just never asked that question. You know what I mean? And she went on and talked for like an hour about how they met and how it happened and then started just revealing all this tea about all these people. That was really incredible, you know? And certain things, like a lot of things just clicked and made sense. A lot of these traumas that that a lot of family went through, I didn't realize how much they affect their day-to-day lives now. But just like hearing stories and just seeing, physically being in the place where they're from, I can see why they are the way they are. So it actually gave me a little bit more empathy towards a lot of my family members that maybe before I had written off as like miserable wretches, you know, when I'm like, oh, shit, like, I get why these people are upset.
And this,
you know,
should be,
or I get.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, and this should be a call for action because a lot of people wait to like they do a fucking DNA fucking test, 23andMe, and then get to all the scoop. Like, no, like get a hold of your own voice and your own history, and it starts with your family. So I'm so glad we got this.
Girl, I'm so sorry, but like if y'all think that 23andMe ancestry.com is going to answer questions, it doesn't. All that does is
some people do.
I know, but all that does is it just makes more questions, and y'all need to be talking to your people because family is not just about blood. Family is about relationships between people. It's not science.
Exactly.
It's about relationships.
Yes.
Okay, oof. So a lot of the people that I got really close with weren't directly family members on this trip, but they consider me family and I consider them family. And it's about, you know, it sounds cheesy, but it's like about history and it's about love.
Exactly.
And it's not about DNA a lot of the time. Anyway.
Thank you so much for that letter. That
was wow. Awesome. Yes, thank you, Marlena. And if you have a question for Latinos Who Lunch, please send it to asklwopod@gmail.com and we might read it on a future episode.
So do you have any recommendations? Because I had a long list, but there's no time, so I'm going to save it. I just have one.
Dale.
So
what is it?
Everybody's waiting for our conversation about Roma. We're going to save it for a full-on episode.
Yes, bitch. I just saw it yesterday.
Oh, my God. Oof. Okay. I have so
in the movie theater.
Much to
okay,
say.
Okay, go.
But in the meantime, congratulations to Yalitza Aparicio. She got nominated for an Oscar. This is huge for representation. However, there's an article that you guys can read, and then it will, you know, hook you until we actually talk about Roma. It's in the New Yorker. It's called "There's a Voice Missing in Alfonso Cuarón's Roma." That gives you a little bit of an idea of where or at least what I want to talk about. So we're gonna get into it. Be patient. The Oscar's not gonna happen for a while, and we're just we really want to do our research. So my recommendation is for you guys to read that that amazing article, and maybe we can start a conversation online or in an email, and maybe we can read one of those emails in that episode. So again, it's in the New Yorker. It's called "There's a Voice Missing in Alfonso Cuarón's Roma." So that's my recommendation for this week.
Send those emails directly to Babelito or to his inbox in Instagram, because I have enough to go through. Okay, we are going to do a full Roma episode, not next week, but the week after. Uh-huh. Next week, we're going to have an interview by our dear friend Jazz from Unravel Podcast. I interviewed her last fall in New York, so we're so excited to release that interview. And that's what Babelito and I are going to do for the next pretty much, I think, for the next year, right, Babelito?
Yeah.
Is do like a Guara Guara La Cuchara episode like we did today, where we kind of pick a topic and just discuss openly, and then do an interview. So I'm bringing you an interview next week, then we'll be together again, and then Babelito will bring you an interview the week after.
Correct.
So we're pretty much going to alternate like that, and I think that'll be a fun way to do the podcast this next year.
Awesome.
I guess thank you for recommending the article, Babelito. It reminded me that I went to actually see Roma in the movie theater here in Las Vegas yesterday.
Oh my God.
Because I didn't want to watch it on Netflix, because everybody was like, go see it in the theater because it's such a beautiful movie, you know, like visually. And I'm really glad that I did go see it in the theater, specifically because of the sound.
Yeah, yeah.
Like seeing it in like full like stereo or whatever it's called, you know, was super cool.
Yeah,
I loved it.
Awesome.
My quick recommendation is, please remember to support brown businesses. Babelito, you are going to be completely chuketh when you come back to Las Vegas. They built a giant movie theater in North Las Vegas,
uh-huh.
a Latino did, called Maya. I think it's called Mayan Cinemas.
Yes.
And there's some in LA. Dude, it is like a state-of-the-art like lounge theater.
At
regular theater prices. My ticket was only $11.
That's nice.
But I was like on a fucking lazy boy. Like,
that's awesome. It,
literally by myself in this theater watching Roma. And it's amazing. So,
I just wish they promoted differently, man, because they were talking about Maya cinemas, myth, magic, and this and that. And I'm just like, oh, here we go. But I mean, yes, yeah, support brown businesses.
You haven't tried those seats, bitch. They were mythical and magical. They're talking about
their
comfort.
Mythical.
They're not talking about. Yes, girl. It took me back. I don't know where, but it was wonderful.
That's awesome.
So please support Latinx businesses, support black businesses, support brown businesses whenever you can. And, you know, support white Mexican directors. Go watch Roma because we're going to talk about it in a couple weeks and we are going to get into it. You know that Babelito, you know that I'm obsessed with production and like sets and like and the cinematography and this movie, girl.
I have so
it's got it all.
Oh my God. Anyway, I'm not gonna get into it.
Oh my God. Okay, are you done?
Done.
And as always, you could visit us at latinoswholunch.com. If you have a moment, please review the show and give it 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are, and
visibility is visibility because visibility leads to representation, and representation matters. Wow.
And if you've already left a review and you want to contribute even more to the podcast, you can Venmo us, you can Cash App us, you can PayPal us. We're at Latinos Who Lunch, latinoswholunch@gmail.com on PayPal. send your money there. Today's episode was produced by me, Justin Pavela, and Emmanuel Ortega. I am Fabi Fab.
And I'm Pavelito.
Bye. Ciao, ciao.